May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day, the one who is the very bread of life that we feast on today. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading, Exodus chapter 16. Actually, today and the next two Sundays, our gospel is from John chapter 6. So I'll be speaking about John 6 on later Sundays here this month, a great chapter. Today, Exodus 16, we pray as we consider the Word of God. O Lord, plant Your Word deeply into our hearts again today and cause it to produce great faith and knowledge, understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 220,000. Unbelievable. 220,000 complaints. I read in the Knoxville News Sentinel where the phone line 311, I'm not sure exactly what that's for, information of some sort here in Knoxville, but that phone line 311 this past year, in 1 year, received 220,000 complaints from Knoxville residents. Were you one of them? Maybe you were. Complaints about lots, vacant lots, trash, grass growing, this and that that happens in the city. 220,000 a year? That's an average of about 600 a day of people complaining about this or that. Maybe it doesn't shock us because we all grumble, we all complain, we all bellyache, we all gripe. It's almost got to a point in the church or as Christians, we almost laugh it off. Oh, they're just a grumbler. They just complain a lot. No big deal. If it's not even a sin anymore that should be rebuked, just who they are. They're just grumpy, a grumbler. Well, I think our Old Testament lesson would teach us different. It's a very relevant Old Testament reading, very pertinent. 8 times in this text, I read the word grumble or grumbling. And notice the grumbling is not against Moses, it's against God. And therefore, it's quite serious. Let me say 3 things about grumbling. I grumble, you grumble, we all do to one degree or another. Let me say 3 things about why we grumble, what the cure is for grumbling, complaining, griping. 3 things about it today. First of all, one thing that struck me is how grumblers are so forgetful. If you grumble and complain, you don't have a good memory. And you're a very forgetful person. And that's the people of Israel. God has brought them out of the desert. I'll get to that in just a moment. And they've been out of the desert for one, or they've been out of Egypt, I'm sorry. God brought them out of Egypt. They've been out of Egypt for 1 month. And they're already grumbling about having no food. And notice how they are so selective in their memory. They've forgotten a lot. They're selective in their memory. They remember, as they say, how they ate meat pots in Egypt and how they were full of bread. They're remembering back in the past, they remember all the good things about Egypt and their slavery. Oh, we ate meat, full of bread. This is nonsense. Slaves in Egypt did not get meat. Maybe very rarely on a special occasion, they might give them a little bit of meat. And they did not get full of bread. They very rarely had much bread at all. They're fantasizing about the past, exaggerating about the past. How wonderful the past was in Egypt. We sometimes do that too. How wonderful it was in the old days. Oh, come on. Was it really? And notice what they've forgotten. They talk about eating meat in Egypt and being full of bread. What have they forgotten? That God delivered them from Egypt. Where's that at in their memory? Just been a month. They've forgotten how Moses came in the burning bush, that Moses would have told them about the burning bush. And the 10 plagues. What about the 10 plagues? Turning the Nile River into blood and the darkness and the gnats and the boils. Now God brought about the final plague of the angel of death and the Passover. And they've forgotten all that? The mighty hand of God to deliver them from 430 years of slavery? What about that? And they have forgotten the Red Sea, how God parted the Red Sea. They walked on dry land. God swallowed up the Egyptian army. And then God led them by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. They've forgotten all this of what God, how God has blessed them and delivered them and saved them from Egypt. Come on, people. And just previous to this text, in Exodus chapter 15, they've been praising God for the victory. Voices of praise, and now they're grumbling the next chapter. And just previous, God had taken them to Elam, And in Elam there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. God brought them to this wonderful little place of paradise out in the desert. Just previous to Exodus 16. They have forgotten what God's done. And they're hungry. Well, get over it. Aren't we all a little hungry now and then? It's okay to be hungry. You're not going to die. God's going to feed you. If you grumble a lot, gripe a lot, complain a lot, you need to have a little review of history. Remember Christmas and the baby in the manger for you. And what about thinking about Good Friday for a while, how God laid on a cross for 6 hours, dying for your sins and your hell and your death for you. And remember Easter, that He rose again. He is risen. You guys remember, praise be to God, that He's alive and well and conquered all things. Good. Remember Pentecost and remember specifically about your life, your baptism. Remember your baptism? He made you His own, saved you, washed you, washed you again today. How for all these years of your life, whether you're a youngster or older, how He's blessed you, kept you in the faith, given you His Word and His Word and the sacrament time and time again, forgiveness for you and for me, sinners. As we sit in the pew right now, how He's blessed me. Consider all that. Do a little remembering. Maybe you won't grumble so much. God's been good. Grumblers forget what God has done. You know, this past week, I was grumbling a little bit watching the Olympics. You know what I grumbled about? And my family can verify. I grumble a lot when I watch sports. My team doesn't do well. I get quite patriotic during these times. I'm not really a patriotic guy beyond that, because of the sins of America as everywhere else. But Olympics, I like us to win. And so I grumbled about, guess who? I grumbled about Michael Phelps. How could he lose the 200-meter butterfly and let that South African guy sneak his hand in there? I mean, Phelps, if you're not going to train well, just don't come over to London. Just stay home if you're going to shame America and get the silver medal. And my family goes, just be quiet. The guy's won like 18 gold medals. Come on. What are you complaining about? Give him a break. And they're right. How silly and ridiculous to grumble about any of it. And we do so much of that with God and life. About what we don't have. A job. I don't have health that I want. A job I want. The money I want. The house I want. Secondly, grumblers lack faith in the future. Grumblers have a problem with the past. They don't remember it accurately. And grumblers lack faith in the future too. And this is the people of Israel. What do they think their future is there in the desert? They think they're going to die. You brought us out into this wilderness to kill us. Notice the exaggeration. Like Moses will kill them? Come on. God's going to kill them? To kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. God has promised them so much, and they don't have their minds on their future either. God had promised to give them the promise of, He wasn't merely going to deliver them from Egypt. That was just the first part of it, the Red Sea in Egypt. God had great plans for His people. He was going to give them the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. He was going to conquer all their enemies, give them great kings and leaders if they would obey Him. And God was going to send the Messiah. What about the Messiah in the future? The King of Kings who would take away their sins. And God was going to give them heaven, the resurrection of their bodies, glory. It was all there. God promised all of that for them. And all they can do is think about their empty stomachs and grumble. They lack faith in the future God has promised. Again, if you grumble and you complain a lot, you're a bellyacher, you lack faith in your future that God's promised you. You lack faith in your future, and you are to be rebuked, and so me too. What a future God's promised. Eternal life in the true promised land. The resurrection of our flesh. Glory and immortality. He's promised to be with us through all the trials of life. Lo, I am with you always. If God is for me, who can be against me? God's promised His love every day, His goodness every day, His forgiveness every day. He'll be with me every day. That's His promise. I hold you in the palm of my hand. No one can snatch you out of my hand. I'll take you to heaven. What a promise of our God in Christ. And we grumble about today. Christianity to me is kind of like driving a car a little bit. You know, when you drive a car, you can't just be looking in the middle of your car at the present, at your steering wheel and your speedometer. You got to be looking ahead. And you also better look in your rearview mirror to what's behind you. That's part of driving in the present, is looking ahead and looking behind. Then you can have a little bit of peace driving in the here and now. And that's the Christian life. We don't just look at the here and now. Oh, I don't have a job. I don't have health. I'm sick. I might die. This tragedy happened. That happened. You know, I don't have this and that. That may be true. But you're ever looking ahead to the glory to come and the direction the road leads to heaven. That's God's promise. It's a good road, even though I go through the wilderness. And I look in the rearview mirror behind all the blessings of God. And I have great gratitude for the past. And I have great faith and hope in the future. And I can live today, even though I don't have everything I want today. I can live today with great joy and contentment. And God desires His people to be content. Like any parent wants the kids to be content. And not gripe and grumble. I visited Gladys Frankenberg not too long ago. Some of you know her. She lives down south in a very humble little farm home. Her sons come and visit her. She really should almost be in a nursing home. She's nearly blind. She's quite feeble, has one leg amputated. The other leg is all wrapped up with sores. She told me it also will probably have to be amputated. And she's in pain. And I went to visit her and I said, "Hey, Gladys, how are you?" And she's always quite pleasant. And she, you know, I asked her, "How's the leg? How are you?" I saw it all wrapped up and this looked bad. And she said, "Well, it's sores. They won't heal. I'll probably have to have the other leg amputated." But then she said this, "Pastor, I don't want to dwell on that. I want to talk about the time when I'll have two new legs." She wanted to talk about heaven. 95 years old. "Talk to me about heaven," was what she was saying. And so I spent about 15 minutes thinking of every Bible verse and text I could think of about heaven and the glory that awaits us for this dear lady. And we spoke about it for 10, 15 minutes, and she said, "Pastor, I realize you don't have all the time this day to read everything about heaven to me, but I sure wish you did." That's a woman of faith. She's looking to her future, and so she's content today. You know, grumbling's contagious. The whole community grumbled. This is 3 to 5 million people. They're all grumbling. I'm sure it started with 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. "We don't have any food. What's going on? What are we doing out here?" And just spread and spread like A to Z. You can spread that in your family. You can spread that where you work. You can spread that in your church by being negative and grumbling the whole time about something that spreads like wildfire. Or you can spread hope and faith. That works contagiously too, I think, by the Spirit. Where you have faith like Gladys. You have gratitude about the past. You're a joyful, content person. The glass isn't half empty. The glass is not half full. The glass is overflowing with blessings. My cup runneth over. And you have that kind of attitude about life, even if you don't have everything you want right now. That's contagious too. What kind of impact do you really want to have? Where you work, where you worship, in your family. Last of all, grumblers are forgiven. Grumblers are always forgiven and fed by their God. What stands out here is not the grumbling of the people. Of course they grumble. We all do. We're not shocked by it. What stands out is the grace of God for grumbling people who He has delivered just a month ago and they've forgotten about it. God does not strike His people down. God does not send a plague upon His people. "You bunch of grumbling people, why did I ever save you?" Rather, God is so kind and good as He always is. He gives them manna every day, 6 days, the sixth day, twice as much. Gives them quail, a little dessert, quail, meat. Wow, what a God. He hears their cries, their grumbling, He gives them. He gives and gives. We grumble, God gives. We bellyache, God gives us the bread of life. We pout, God provides. We complain, God is ever compassionate and kind. That's just the way God is. We have our manna every Wednesday and Sunday. And you have it every day at home. It's called the Word of God. We have the sacrament all the time. When God tells me not to give these things, I won't give them to you anymore. I don't expect Him anytime soon to tell me not to give them to you. He gives and gives to His people. And He forgives their sins. Mine and yours. So come and eat. Come and partake and be full and satisfied. You know, there was a big tournament here in Knoxville this past week. The big horseshoe tournament. By the way, Rick Elmer and I won the washers tournament back a few weeks ago. We'll display those trophies soon out here. Soon they'll be displayed. Just kidding. Is it good enough to be close in horseshoes? You know, close is good enough in horseshoes. You can win being close if the other guy is further away than you. Close is not good enough in Christianity. Just being close to the church, just being having your name on a roster, just being around every now and then isn't good enough. You need to partake, hear the Word of God and hear the Word of God with faith, and eat of communion. Eat it and drink it and eat it and drink it. Don't just look at it and think about it, but eat it. Christ is the bread of life. Don't just think about eating the bread or dream about drinking. Eat it. Partake. And He will be in you, with you. And we are full and satisfied. Grumblers forget. Grumblers lack faith in the future. But grumblers are ever forgiven and fed by their God again today. Myself a grumbler, you a grumbler. Having been fed by God today, may we leave not with a grumbling heart. May we leave today with a heart of gratitude. Praise be to God. Say it with me. Praise be to God. A little louder. Praise be to God for all His blessings. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.